Good morning. Welcome to Church Creek Presbyterian Church. My name is Matt Guffey. I'm a deacon here at Church Creek. And before we begin our service today, there are a few announcements in your bulletin that I'd like to draw your attention to. If you look at the first page. For those interested prior to church, so we have a few options right now for one being outdoor family ministry time for families with younger children. We've been meeting outside at 10, weather permitting, or in the nursery, weather not permitting. And then also Youth Sunday School, we've also begun that in recent weeks, and they've been meeting either outside or in the worship training room. That's also been beginning Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. Other events ongoing, the women's Bible study. So we have two options here. Both are Wednesday, one in the morning in person, and one in the evening that is has been a virtual Bible study. They will not be meeting this week due to the holiday, but if you are interested in participating in that, please reach out to either Carol Doyle for the morning study or Amy Cummings for the evening study. I want to thank you all and those who participated with the Operation Christmas Child initiative that we had. I believe we had over, 23 boxes collected in the recent weeks here. We also have another opportunity for those who are interested in a similar ministry for the Low Country Orphan Relief Stocking Drive. So if you look out in the narthex and the table that'll be on your left just prior to exiting out the doors out front, we have stockings there that'll have a list of kind of suggested items for whether it's a boy or a girl, different age groups, and things that are needed to support the Low Country Orphan Relief. So if you're interested, and lastly, there's also a list of frequently asked questions for any information you might need related to this. So if you're interested, ask that you take a look at that, and ask that any items on there remain unwrapped and that they be returned here at the church prior to December 10th. This week we also have a Thanksgiving service. It'll be this Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. That'll be a time of singing and prayer and really just reports to the congregation of Thanksgiving for how God has worked for us in this last year. Also have the annual Ladies Cookie Exchange, something I don't go to, but I'm always thankful that it happens. And that'll be on Saturday, December 5th, from 9:30 to 11 in the Fellowship Hall. If you're interested or have any questions, please reach out to Katie Guffey. And then lastly, for the Pastoral Search Committee. So if you have any requests of the Search Committee, anything that you would like to communicate to the Search Committee, whether it be a recommendation for a potential candidate, whether it be a concern or a consideration that you would like to make sure that the search committee is aware of and is factoring into the work that they are doing in searching for a new pastor, you can please follow the link that we have in your bulletin there, and that'll take you to a page where you can submit any inputs that you have there. That's all I have. Glad to have you here for worship this morning. Thank you.
Let me just add that about the Thanksgiving service, I think the time is a little earlier than we've done in the past. It's at 6 o'clock. And as always, take into consideration the amount of traffic that may be on Highway 61 when you head out to come to church. It can it can be quite heavy at times, but that service is at 6. It'll be in the Fellowship Hall, and masks are required, but the session is allowing you to take your mask off when you give testimony so that people can hear you speak. We'll be socially distanced. The fellowship hall, you're familiar with it. There's enough room for us to spread out. But would encourage you to come and give some thought before coming so that you'll have something to share with the rest of us so we can be encouraged as we learn about God's goodness in your life. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. from the prophet Isaiah chapter 2, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let's stand together and begin our worship with the doxology of praise. In your bulletin there is a confession of faith. This one this morning is taken from the Belgic Confession. It's the first article that helps us to express what it is that we believe about the one true living God. It asks that we read this together in unison. Together, we all believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that there is a single and simple spiritual being whom we call God, eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, unchangeable, infinite, almighty, completely wise, just, and good. Let us pray. Eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come this morning and declare that you are righteous in all of your ways. You are kind in all of your works. You are near to all who call upon you, to all who call upon you in truth. You fulfill the desire of those who fear you. You hear our cry and you save us. You preserve all who love you, but all the wicked you will destroy. Help us this morning to speak your praise and to adore you for the God that you are. We ask that you would enable us to bless you and to worship you this day. And as a result of being here in your presence, that we would feel your kindness and goodness toward us. Help us to worship you in a way that is reflective of your greatness and your goodness. And we offer this prayer, this petition, in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first hymn number 53, the words are in your bulletin, a great hymn about the goodness of God. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Please be seated. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, talks about the provision that God has made for the forgiveness of our sins. Paul writes, "He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." Now that's the word of the Lord. And so, encouraged by God's provision for our forgiveness, I'd ask that we pause for a moment of silent confession of sin. Father, we do come to you in the quietness of this moment, and we come seeking refuge in you. And we come with faith, believing that you have done what Paul has talked about here in Colossians, that you have rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and you have taken us and you have transferred us into the kingdom of your own dear Son, the kingdom of light. We thank you for this wonderful work of redemption that you have accomplished for your people, that you have purchased our freedom and you have forgiven us our sins. And we come this morning recognizing that even as your redeemed and forgiven people, we from time to time fall back into patterns of sin. We make mistakes, we err. We leave things undone that we know that we should have done, and we recognize that all of this is a falling short of your glory and that it is sin against you. It is something that displeases you as our Father in heaven. And so we come in response to your word and we confess our sins. We agree that they are sins in your sight, and we ask that you would cleanse us, that you would impress upon us the forgiveness that you have provided for us, and that you would renew us so that we could walk in the light, even as you are in the light. We thank you that we are able to worship this morning with this knowledge of forgiveness. We know that our worship would never be accepted by you if there was this sin that stood between us. But you look upon us and you consider us as holy, blameless, without a single fault. And so we pray that you would help us to live in the light of all of this wonderful truth, and that you would hear our prayers this morning of confession, and that you would honor them because they are offered to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May God Almighty, who freely pardons all who repent and turn to him, now fulfill in every contrite heart this promise of redeeming grace, forgiving you all of your sins and cleansing you of an evil conscience through the perfect sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I've asked the chairman of our deacons, Matthew Guffey, if he would pray our congregational prayer this morning.
Please join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you are most worthy of praise, with greatness that no one can fathom, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Our strong fortress, our Redeemer, righteous in all ways and faithful in all that you do. We worship you and we praise you and your everlasting kingdom this morning, Lord. We come before you in prayer, bringing much thanksgiving and laying many requests before your feet, and trusting in your Spirit to intercede for us with groanings too deep for words. Lord, you know the many needs of the congregation, and we thank you that you are near to all who call on you. Lord, we pray for those who are facing physical trials. We lift up Oren Baldwin, Ted and Kathy Blackwell, April Bohannon, Trudy White, Charles Howell, Robert Johnson, Rick Jones, Libby Olson, Rachel Walters, Davey and Joanne Janice, Dean Azell, Peggy Wiseman, and Colson Scott. We ask for your sustainment for them and encouragement for them and their families, and that you would bring peace and healing, Lord. We pray for those who are facing other hardship, financial struggles, unemployment, underemployment, conflict with friends or family, or separation from family. Lord, we know that for many, the upcoming holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, can often bring or worsen feelings of loneliness, sadness, or depression. Lord, no matter what the trial, we ask that your Holy Spirit bring encouragement and pray that you would help the people in our church to be able to minister, care for, and support each other through these challenges. Help each of us to be encouraged and reminded of your love each and every day. And we ask that you would provide support and comfort when needed. Let your Holy Spirit help us find joy, Lord, to put our hope in your many promises, to be patient in our tribulation, and to be constant in our prayer. Lord, we also lift up those who are under church discipline or who have strayed from you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would convict them and give them a longing for your mercy and forgiveness. Help them to turn to you and to work toward reconciliation. And let your Holy Spirit cleanse them and those around them of the guilt and the effects of their sin. Strengthen all of your people, Lord, to not let sin reign in our mortal bodies, but to offer ourselves to you in righteousness. Help us to keep short accounts and to daily lay our sins, our worries, and our needs before you in prayer. For we know that you are surely faithful to listen and hear our prayers. Lord, we thank you for the health and safety and operation of the Charleston Christian School and other schools here in the Charleston area this fall. We thank you for your provision to CCS. And we ask for your encouragement, sustainment, and blessing upon Ashley Chandler and the faculty and staff at CCS. Lord, help them and their students to find enjoyment and rest in this next week of Thanksgiving break. And we ask for your continued blessing and guiding hand upon Charleston Christian School in the coming months. Lord, we also lift up our pastor search committee to you in prayer. We thank you for the men and women who are faithfully serving on this committee. We ask for encouragement, endurance, peace for them as they seek to complete this immense task. Help their work to be efficient and fruitful. And let your hand be clearly visible to them as you open and shut different doors to lead us to the pastor whom you would have shepherd your people at Church Creek. We thank you for your faithfulness to your people, Lord, that you are always faithful to keep your many wonderful promises. We ask that you and your Holy Spirit would strengthen us in our faithfulness to you. Help the words in our mouths and the meditations in our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Help us to be faithful and persistent in our prayers to you throughout the week, Lord, bringing praise to you confessing our sins and seeking your forgiveness, laying our many needs before you, and finding encouragement in our daily walk with you. Help us to be faithful in the teaching of your word to your covenant children. Let your Holy Spirit work in their hearts to see their need for a saving faith in you. Help us to faithfully minister to those in need and to show Christ in what we say and what we do to those around us at work or in our community or in our home. We thank you for the gift of salvation that you give us, Lord, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of our iniquity. We thank you, Lord, for the justification that you give us, despite our sin, through faith in the work of your Son, and the peace we have with you through our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you would find our worship pleasing and glorifying to you this morning. And we pray all this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou, mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou alone, first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure, thou art. This is taken from our offertory hymn, Be Thou My Vision. As part of our worship, we bring into the Lord's presence his tithes and our offerings. We would invite you to come up to the offering plate this morning. There's one upstairs and one on the way out. As we stand together and sing this hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Please stand. Please be seated. Sunday mornings, we're working through the book of James. The text is in your bulletin, but you might want to look in your Bible or on your device, your Bible program. The book of James, chapter 1, we'll be thinking about verse 17 and looking rather closely at this one verse. This is from the English Standard Version, James chapter 1, verse 17. Let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us and direct us as we study His Word. Father in heaven, we do thank You that we can pause for a moment each week, open our Bibles, and think more pointedly, more deeply about the truth of Your Word, and we ask that You would help us to understand this one verse as James gives it to us, a verse that describes for us so much of who You are as our God. We have sung Your praise this morning. We have prayed. We have made a large request of You. We've confessed our sins. We've received Your forgiveness. We've brought offerings and tithes, all of which we desire for it to be pleasing in Your sight. And now we want to be those who listen and hear and believe and love and will practice the Word as it is taught and preached this morning. And so send Your Spirit, enable us by Your grace to take Your Word seriously. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. What a wonderful verse. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful reality and truth about our Father in heaven. And one that invites us to come and to walk in the light of this gracious reality. That through Jesus Christ, you and I have a Father in heaven who shines His light and life into this dark world and fills us with all kinds of goodness. And so this morning, let's try to unfold and uncover all the amazing and wonderful truth that we can find in this one verse. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. First of all, look at how these gifts are being described. Every good gift. Everything that enhances our character and quality of life, everything that brings joy and pleasure and moves us on toward maturity, everything that fills us with faith and love and gives hope for tomorrow and gives us this connection with the world that is to come, with eternity, every good gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Now that means the very thing that we need most in life. Not just toys to amuse us, but what we need most. God doesn't pour out just random gifts like parents often will do at Christmas time just to overload their children with a bunch of gifts. He doesn't want to leave any of us thinking, well, this is nice, but what am I going to do with all this stuff? You know, what's it for? God gives the very thing that perfectly answers some void or some need in your life. every good gift and every perfect gift from above. Now, this certainly means that they come directly to us from God's hand, but I think it means even more. It means the good things that God gives us are going to last. They're not fundamentally the things that are of this world. They come down to us from the Father in heaven. They are from above. And if they're not of this world, if they're eternal, then they're never going to fail to satisfy us. I think that Peter says this best. If you turn over just a couple of pages, 1 Peter chapter 1, he begins his first letter talking about some of these good and perfect gifts and how wonderful they are and the fact that they are in heaven. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ according to his great mercy. Now, isn't that a good and perfect gift? Mercy? He has caused us to be born again. Isn't that a good gift? Born again to a living hope. Isn't that a good gift? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept or reserved in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. These are gifts that are in heaven above, but they are gifts that will never fail to satisfy us. We begin to experience something of them now, but we have this assurance of an inheritance. Every good and perfect gift from above and kept safe for us to always enjoy. These gifts are from above, but he adds they're coming down. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. These gifts are ours by sovereign grace. We don't have to climb up to heaven to go and get them. They come down to where we are. They come down sovereignly sent by a good and gracious God. They originate in heaven, but they come down and we begin to enjoy them here and now. And that's true of every single gift that God gives us. They're from above, but they come down sovereignly and graciously to us. The gifts of faith and repentance. I mean, they are gifts, right? Graces, gifts that God works in us, that he gives to us. The gift of justification, to be forgiven and embraced by God, completely washed clean from all of our sin, from our offenses. The gift of adoption, to be brought into God's family and to be considered the children of God. The gift of sanctification, constantly being renewed, enabled so that we die to sin and live to righteousness. And the Westminster Shorter Catechism goes on and adds assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, growing stronger in grace, persevering to the very end, to be made perfect in holiness, to be raised up in glory at the end of the age so that we are perfectly blessed to the full enjoying of God throughout all eternity. I mean, these are wonderful gifts that God has for us. They are in heaven and they're coming down and we're beginning to enjoy them even now. But what specifically? More than anything else, as a good and perfect gift from above that comes down, what specifically could we mention? Who said, I am the bread of life coming down from heaven? Isn't that a good gift? a perfect gift, a gift that's in heaven above, but one that came down. The Nicene Creed describes Jesus as God of God, light of light, very God of very God, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven. He is God's best gift, a good gift, a perfect gift, a gift from above coming down to us to seek and to save those who were lost and to be with us forever. What a wonderful reality. I mean, that's what we will be celebrating here at the end of the year, Christmas season, God's Son coming down to be our Redeemer. Now, look at God Himself, the giver of all of these gifts that have just been described. And already, implied by the gifts themselves, we can learn a lot about who God is. He's an abundantly good God who gives good gifts. He's an infinitely wise God who gives perfect gifts, the very gift that we need. He's a gracious and generous God who freely gives. He's a transcendent God. He's a God who is above us and has these blessings for us, but he is an immanent God, a God who comes down and dwells with us and will be with us forever. All of that is implied by the nature of his gifts. But looking at verse 17, what are we specifically told about God as the giver of good gifts? He's said to be our Father. Every good gift, every perfect gift from above is coming down from the Father. James doesn't say from God Almighty, the God who made us, who created us. He does not say our Lord, the lawgiver, who demands perfect obedience. He could have said any of that. But he says the Father of lights, a Father who loves and cares for us. God willing, next week we'll go on and look at verse 18, but there we see as our Father, he fathers us. Verse 18, of his own will, of his sovereign will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. We owe our very life to this Father. And as our Father, he's passionate to care for even the weakest among us. Look at verse 27 at the end of the chapter. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. That shows us the heart of our Father in heaven. And James, no doubt, was there when Jesus preached his sermon on the mount, and he would have heard Jesus say, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So he's a father, but then he's called Father of lights. But that's an interesting way of putting it. He doesn't say God of light, as John does. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. He says Father of lights. Father, but then plural, lights. And I think that James's first readers would immediately have thought of those great lights that God created right at the very beginning and that continue today to bless us in the fact that they were given to us. Genesis chapter 1, just to read the account of that day, verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. The idea here is that God gave these good and perfect gifts, these lights, so that we wouldn't be stumbling around in the dark. I mean, literally, but also metaphorically. You think about the sun. It brings light. It brings life to all the earth. It marks the passing of the day. At night, the moon tells us what part of the month we are in. The stars are used to tell where you are and how to navigate your way along. I don't know if Matthew had to do that on a submarine or not, to look at the stars in the horizon and try to figure out where you are. But that's what people have learned to do, because God put those stars there to help us figure out where we are. And so in a similar way, God guides each of us in our journey through life. He brings his light to shine in the darkness and to show us the way. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 36, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. And again, 1 John, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God delivers us from the darkness. He gives us these great lights, literally, but spiritually, metaphorically, these great lights to guide us, to tell us where we are in life, and so we will know how to press forward in our journey. And then he's a faithful Father of lights. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And again, you think about the great light, the sun. Well, the sun's not always shining, or at least we can't see it shining. It goes down in the west in the evening. Sometimes in the middle of the day, it's overshadowed with clouds. The moon at night doesn't always appear the same. If anything, there's great variation. The way that the moon appears, sometimes it's full, sometimes it's nothing but a sliver, sometimes there's nothing at all to be seen. It's constantly waxing and waning and even disappearing. But what James says is our Father of lights, the creator of these lights, is nothing like the lights that he has created. Even those things which can be predicted pretty well disappear, and they appear to have a sense of changing about them, but not the Father of lights. With him, there's no variation. There's no shifting about in terms of who God is. God is not good and caring one day, and the next day becomes mean and nasty. He's always good. He's not with us on Sundays when we're in here, but Monday morning is absent from us. He doesn't love us one day and then just kind of grows tired of us the next. He's not moody like you and I often are. He does not change, and so his heart and his attitude toward you and me will never change. You can trust what he says. You can trust what he promises. You can trust him to always be there for you. He is faithful. He who promised is faithful. And so you and I can forever trust this Father of lights, the one true living God, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, one final thought. Just take a quick glance with me at those who are gifted, those who receive the gifts. All of these gifts are coming from the Father, but who is it that gets the gifts? You and me, children of God, believers in Jesus Christ, those who are made alive by Christ. You and I are the ones who experience all these wonderful gifts from our Father in heaven. Well, what do we do now? I mean, this is a great verse, verse 17, but it's just telling us something. What are we to do? Well, back up to what the verse that we looked at last week. It's the only imperative in the context of what James is writing. Verse 16. Take one step back to this imperative. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Do not be deceived. And it is an imperative. James is telling us, here is something that needs to be done. And it's to be done in the light of verse 17. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting due to change. Do not be deceived. Now, what's the opposite of that? How would you state that in a positive way? Do not be deceived. One thing we could do is say it as the Apostle John says, walk in the light. Do not be deceived. Don't walk in the darkness. Don't be overcome by the darkness. Stay in the light. Walk in the light. Look at all this light, the Father of lights who is giving you all of these great gifts. Walk in that light. Live in that light. Don't let the devil, don't let the world, don't let your own sinful flesh, your desires determine how you're going to live. Whether it's in fear or anger, lust, greed, pride. Don't be like that. Remember all of these gifts that God has for you. Remember who God is, your Father in heaven. And so don't be deceived. Walk in the light of God's grace and truth. Well, what does it mean to walk in the light? It means believe everything that God tells you in His Word and then rejoice in that truth. Believe it. Hear, and James is going to be talking about this, hear what God says, believe it, put it into practice, recognize that this is a dark, it's a dangerous world, and that you and I have sinned against God, but that God still loves us and He sent His Son to rescue us. And so put your trust in the person of Jesus Christ as your God and Savior. And then as best as you know how, do what God says. And we'll finish just with the way John puts it. I think basically, even though he puts it in different words, he's saying the same thing as James when James talks about the Father of lights. John says in his first letter, this is the message we have received from the beginning and proclaim to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's pray. Father, quite simply, help us to do what we have heard this morning, to live in this light, to walk in this light, to believe your word, to believe what you say about yourself in this one verse of James, to rejoice in that truth, to embrace it, to have that word shape us and form us as people, as individuals, so that we live out and that we live in the reality of who you are as a good and gracious Father in heaven. Help us to think more of the wonderful gifts that you have given and the way that you describe these gifts, rather than thinking about the problems that we encounter from one day to the next. And so come, help us to walk in the light, even as you are in the light. And we pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our last hymn is hymn number 75, and I don't know, I know we know the tune, I don't know if we know the words that well. Margaret Clarkson, I think, is the author of these words, "O Father, you are sovereign." But this is our closing hymn with a wonderful message about God's sovereign goodness toward his people, especially people who are suffering. Let's stand together, hymn number 75. Be with you. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace.
Thank you.